we present great stories from around the globe by some of the world's favorite writers in Springbok Library of the Air.
Room 13 by Dorothy Carter. Dramatized for radio by Leslie Smith. Recorded at Olympia Studios in Durban and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Dear Grandmama, I hope this letter finds you well. I need your help, Grandmama. I'm so unhappy and afraid. My stepfather has arranged for me to marry Mr. Rupert Sykes Bailey. He's old and a bully. What am I to do? It seems that my stepfather is seriously in debt. And marrying me to this monster will solve all his problems. The man I wish to marry is Captain Michael Fraser. Indeed, we were hoping to start the wedding arrangements as soon as he returns from his sea trip. You like Michael, Grandmama. He's the captain of the Royal Mermaid. Oh, I wish he would come home and end this nightmare. Stepfather, Polly, and myself will be traveling by carriage on Tuesday
and we'll be staying overnight at the Oak Lodge. That's where Rupert has arranged to meet us. And I am being forced to travel on from there with this man to become his wife. It is only 4 days away, and I am desperate. Grandmama, please, please help me. Well.
Lady Burnley.
William, have you ever heard the name Rupert Sykes Bailey?
No, I'm afraid I don't know the name.
Well, in that case, help me out of this chair, would you? No. No, wait, let me sit here a while. I need to think.
Anything you'd like me to do for the time being, Lady Fernley?
Yes. Yes, there is. I'd like you to find out when a ship called the Royal Mermaid is expected back in port. And see what you can find out about this man, Rupert Sykes Bailey.
Here at last. About time, too. Well, come along, my dear. Hurry and get inside out of this rain. We don't want to catch our death of cold, do we?
I wish I would. I'd rather die than marry that slimy toad, Sykes Bailey.
Come along, Rosie. Don't talk that way.
Ah, Mr. Best. If you just saw in the register here, please. You're in, room 3. Just across the lobby and turn left. And if you young ladies will sign here, take my pen. That's it. Ah, fine, that's done. You will be sharing room 13, just at the top of the stairs on the right. Trent here will take your cases and show you to your room.
And what time does the bar open?
In half an hour, sir. Dinner's at 7.
In which case, I'll leave you girls to rest and freshen up. I'll meet you in the dining room at 7.
I'll take your bag, shall I, ladies? There we are, ladies. If there's anything you need, just ring that bell there.
Thank you, Trent.
Well, I'll just leave you to settle in then.
Oh, Polly, what am I going to do? I wonder if Grandmama got my letter. Well, even if she did, I don't suppose there's much she could do. Oh, how I hate Julian. How can he do this to me?
Come on, Rosie. Try not to get too worked up. Ibel will be here with you, wherever you go. You can be certain of that.
Oh, dear Polly. I don't know what I would have done if you couldn't have come along. Polly? Polly, I was thinking we could run away.
Oh, Rosie, where would we go? We don't have any money. And where would we stay?
Well, I've managed to sneak some of my mother's jewellery, some that he doesn't know about and hasn't got his hands on yet.
You've hidden it away?
I had to, or you'd have sold it like all the rest. We need to run away now because, well, if I'm forced to marry that man, I will anyway. Either that or kill myself.
We'll have none of that talk, Rosie. Whatever it takes, we'll do it together. We'll think a way out of this somehow. Don't worry.
Good morning, sir. Looks as if it's going to be a rather pleasant day today. Would you like the morning papers?
Yes, thank you.
Well, it'll make a nice change after all the rain we've been having.
Where are those girls? They should be down here for breakfast now. 8:30, I said. Porter?
Oh, how can I help, sir?
Would you kindly go to room 13 and inform the two ladies there that breakfast is being served? If they don't come now, I'll start without them, and there'll be no breakfast for them at all.
I'm sorry, sir. Did you say room 13?
Yes.
Well, that's impossible, I'm afraid, sir. We don't have a room 13.
Of course you've got a room 13, man. How long have you worked here? Top of the stair and to the right.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. There is no room 13.
Oh, really? Don't bother. I'll go myself.
Well, I did tell you, sir, there is no room 13 here.
I must have got the wrong staircase, then. It was here. It was just here.
Well, there's only one staircase leading to this floor, sir.
Oh, damn it, man. The room was here. In fact, I came up here last night and knocked on the door.
Oh, I don't know what I can say, sir. There's never been a room number 13 in all the time I've worked here.
But I can't be mistaken. It was here on this very landing. I remember that grandfather clock and that potted plant over there. Look, I don't know what's going on, but I'll soon find out. The receptionist will know. She's allocated the room to me in the first place.
I'm afraid the receptionist you spoke to yesterday is off duty today, sir. Can I help?
I hope you can, yes. We arrived yesterday, and my daughter and her companion were given room 13. Well, I've just been up there this morning.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but we don't have a room 13.
This is outrageous. You do have such a room. I knocked down that very door myself last night and spoke to my daughter's companion, Polly. She was in that room.
I can assure you, Mr. Best, we've not had a room by that number for years. A lot of guests are superstitious, you see. They don't like 13.
Hello? Is anyone in attendance here?
Oh, I do apologise, sir. Would you like to book in? How many nights will you be staying?
I'm not staying. I'm here to meet a Mr. Best. Could you tell me where I could find
him? Ah, yes. You must be Mr. Rupert Sykes Bailey. Mr. Best is expecting you. In fact, he left a message for you to meet him in the bar. It's just through the doorway to your left.
Thank you. So, all's well, I take it, Julian. All to plan, can we say?
Well, yes.
Just a minute. Now, listen. If you're backing out, Best, you'll be very sorry.
I'm not backing out.
Then why do you look so worried, hmm? Why do I get the feeling that something has gone wrong?
All right. All right. Rosalie has disappeared from here, from this hotel. Don't ask me how, because I don't know.
She's run away. Fancy letting a slip of a girl get the better of you. She's obviously got guts, and I like that. A woman with a bit of fight in her. Pleasure is in taming them, that's what I say.
Really?
Anyway, wherever she's gone, she can't have got far. I'd wager she's hiding somewhere here in this hotel.
Yes, but there's something else.
Oh, come on. She'll be in her room. That's where she'll be.
That's the strange thing, Rupert. The room has also disappeared.
What? I think you've had a few too many of those whiskies.
I'm not drunk, and I'm not going crazy.
But you've just said the room's disappeared. Rooms don't disappear, do they?
I know, but There's something going on here, something very strange, and I need to get to the bottom of it. Come with me. Here we are. This is exactly where Rosalie and Polly's room was. Room 13, just here.
All I can see is an old pot plant and a grandfather clock.
But I came up here last night, I tell you. I knocked on the door, spoke to Polly.
Maybe this clock is a cuckoo clock and you were talking to the cuckoo.
Mock as much as you like, Julian. I'm not making this up.
So when you came up here last night, did you see this clock?
Yes, I did. And it struck 8 o'clock, in fact. But I thought the clock was over there. There, maybe. God, this is confusing.
It's more than likely you've remembered the wrong number. They're probably over there in number 14. Look, the door's open. There's someone in there.
I wonder. If that girl's been playing some sort of silly games, I'll soon sort it.
I beg your pardon. What's the meaning of this? Haven't you ever heard of knocking on a door before barging in?
I'm terribly sorry. I've mistaken your room for someone else's. Would you mind telling me how long you've been here, sir?
Well, 4 days. But I don't see what business it is of yours. Now, if you'd kindly leave the room.
Of course, yes. I do apologize.
Oh, just one thing, though, sir. You might be able to help us. Do you know if there's another room on this landing? We're looking for a room 13.
I don't believe there is a room
13. Oh, please, look, I don't understand. Did you sign in when you arrived?
Yes, I did.
And did the register state the room number?
I think so. Yes, it did. I signed for room number 3.
Well, that'll be the answer then. It'll be there in the book. Rosalie must have signed for whichever room she was given.
Of course.
Haven't you even thought of checking with the receptionist?
Well, yes, I did, but it wasn't the same one that booked us in.
Come on, let's have a look at that register. That'll tell us what we need to know.
This is the receptionist that booked us in yesterday. Excuse me. Could you check something for me in your arrivals register?
Certainly, sir.
I'd like to see which room my stepdaughter and her companion occupied.
When did they arrive, sir?
With me, yesterday, of course. You can't have forgotten.
But you were on your own, weren't you, sir?
What?
I don't remember anyone else being with you.
This is becoming farcical. Of course my stepdaughter was with me. Here, let me see the book. She signed just after I did. Here we are. Look, room 3. There's my signature. So Rosalie signed next for room 30. It isn't here.
Mr. Best, are you all right, sir? You've gone very pale. Here, let me get you a chair.
Best, I don't know what the point is of this stupid charade, but we have an arrangement. And there is no getting out of it now.
I know, damn it. I need that money, you know that.
Pardon me, miss. Is it possible that Miss Rosalie Fernley could have signed somewhere else, on another page, perhaps?
Well, yes, of course. If she arrived earlier or later than Mr. Best.
Of course she was with me. I know she wasn't. Let me think. Who else would remember? Yes, there was a young lad, a porter. Trent. Yes, that was his name, Trent. He carried the bags up to their room. Up the stairs and to the right. That's where you told him to go.
I'm sorry, Mr. Best. I don't know what else I can say, but I can assure you that I don't remember your daughter, and we definitely don't have a room 13.
Oh, this is a nightmare. Maybe I am going mad. What about Trent? Let me talk to Trent.
But, Mr. Best, there is no one here by that name.
There is. I saw him, I tell you. I saw him right here.
Oh, come on, Best. This is getting us nowhere. I want a drink.
Don't believe me, and I don't blame you, but honestly, I'm telling you the truth. Everything, just as it happened.
I don't know what to believe. You might be lying, or on the other hand, your money problems may just be driving you mad. Now, just think. Work this out. If there is anything to work out...
Listen, Rupert, I'm not making this up. There was a room 13. It was on that landing. They were in it. It's gone.
Well, all I can say is we'd better get to the bottom of this soon, because if I'm held up any longer...
Rupert, that's him.
What?
Do you remember I told you about that porter, Trent? The one who took their bags?
Oh, the one they've never heard of.
Exactly. That's him over there. He's just coming down the staircase. Look. Definitely Trent. So much for there being no such person. We mustn't let him get away.
Yeah, he's seen you. Look, he's coming this way.
Oh, there you are. Excuse me, Mr. Best. I've got a message for you.
Ah, Trent, am I glad to see you. Do you remember me arriving yesterday?
Well, of course I do, sir.
Oh, we're getting somewhere at last, Rupert. Now, Trent, was my stepdaughter with me when I booked in?
Yes, sir, and her companion. I carried their bags up to their room.
And what room was it, tell me? What was the number of the room?
13, sir.
Room 13, thank you. Now, do you believe me?
So, where is room 13? Just at the top of the stairs to the right, sir.
Yes, but we...
That's what I've come to tell you, sir. The lady in the room is waiting to see you.
What?
And she says, could you come straight away?
But I've been up and down those stairs. I've been told room 13 doesn't exist. This is...
Let's go and take a look, shall we, and find out what my dear bride has to say about it. Well, here we are, sir. Room 13.
It wasn't here, I tell you. You saw with your own eyes it wasn't here. The grandfather clock was, but not the room.
Are you all right, sir?
Well, for goodness sake, Best, come on. All I want to do is collect Rosalie and get out of here. We've wasted enough time already.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Rosalie?
Hello, sir.
Polly, what's been going on here?
Going on? I don't know what you...
Out of the way. Now, Rosalie...
Hello, Julian.
Lady Furley, what are you doing here?
Do come on in, Julian. Are you going to introduce your friend, or are you both going to stand there gaping like two startled fish? Gentlemen, please, do make yourselves comfortable.
Best, what is going on here? Who is this woman, and where's Rosalie?
This is my ex-wife's mother, Rosalie's grandmother.
Well, look, I don't want to get in the way of your nice reunion, but we should have been on our way to Southampton an hour ago. Where is Rosalie? Is she packed and ready?
Polly, what is going on? Why is Lady Fermi here? And all this nonsense about the room. You've got some explaining to do, girl.
Calm down, Julian. It's no use raising your voice at Polly. You still haven't told me who your friend is. So I'll tell you, shall I? Mr. Rupert Sykes Bailey, the man to whom you've arranged the marriage of my granddaughter without her consent.
What has any of this to do with you? I'm her legal guardian, and it's quite within my position to arrange a suitable marriage for her. Rupert here is a good, wealthy man. Rosalie will have a secure, comfortable life. All I'm thinking of is Rosalie's future happiness.
Oh, happiness? You've never thought of anyone's happiness but your own. You only married my daughter for her money, knowing she was in poor health.
Don't be ridiculous.
While she was alive, you squandered it all on drinking and gambling. Now it seems there's nothing left. And poor Julian's in trouble, isn't he? In debt. Owing money to people he'd prefer not to be owing to. Am I right?
Oh, listen here. I don't know what you've heard, but this is no business of yours.
Go be quiet, Julian. Stop pacing. You're making me dizzy. Now let's have a look at you, Mr. Sykes Bailey. Another leech expecting to marry my granddaughter. But why? Could it be something to do with the fact that she inherits a fortune on her 21st birthday next month? Could this be why time is so important to our friend?
I don't have to listen to this. I'm marrying Rosalie because I love her. She's a beautiful young lady who I will be proud to have for a wife. And I resent being accused of marrying for money, and for your information, I don't need her money.
Well, that's fortunate for you then, because you won't be getting any of her money. In fact, you won't be marrying Rosalie, Mr. Sykes Bailey. Or, should I say, Mr. Hammond? Mr. Nigel
Just
Hammond.
Just a minute.
Or, shall we go one better than that and call you by your real name, Mr. Freddie Clark?
What?
Take no notice. The old woman's insane. She must be.
It seems, Julian, you are perfectly willing to marry my granddaughter to a man you know nothing about. Let me enlighten you. His name is Freddie Clark. Something of a charmer, I hear, from East London.
Would you mind?
He married a very wealthy debutante, Fiona March, against her parents' wishes. Like you, Mr. Clark is a gambler, and, well, you can guess what had started to happen with his wife's fortunes. Her parents saw through him and began to make life difficult.
Would you mind?
So, what did our friend Freddie do? He decided to take his wife away on a cruise. She never returned.
That's an absolute lie.
Drowned, apparently. Some sort of accident. How strange. Freddie Clark was now a very rich man who didn't have to answer to anyone anymore. How am I doing so far, Mr. Sykes Bailey?
All I can say is that you're mad. I have never heard of anyone called Freddie Clark. You just invented the name.
Your gambling took over, though, didn't it? And as you saw your fortune slipping away from you, you disappeared for a while. That's when you became Nigel Hammond. Tell me, where's Mrs. Hammond?
Lady Fernley, I don't know where you got all this information from, but clearly you've got Rupert here mistaken for someone else.
Have I? Take a close look at him, Julian. He looks like a frightened man to me. A man who is wanted.
Why, are you finished the
fear? Stop it! William!
It's all right, Polly. I'm here. Sir of the police.
Get your hands behind your back, Clark.
You've set me up, haven't you, Bess?
No, of course not.
Get moving, Clark.
Just you wait.
Move!
Are you all right, Lady Fernley?
Yes, don't you worry about me. I'm fine.
I don't understand. None of this was meant to happen. All I did was arrange a marriage. What a mess. How? Where's Rosalie, anyway?
She's on her way to Scotland with her Captain Fraser. I believe they're making their marriage arrangements.
Oh, are they?
Yes, they are. You see, Julian, I received a letter from Rosalie several days ago. The contents of the letter disturbed me somewhat, to say the least, though. So I set about making some inquiries into the Sykes Bailey fellow, with William's help.
William? Just a minute. You're...
He's my personal secretary.
The man in room 14.
And a very nice room it is, too.
So, why all this business about room 13? All your idea, I suppose.
Of course. You see, we needed time to get Rosalie away. We had to wait for Captain Fraser's ship to dock, but the tides were against us. William and I booked into rooms 13 and 14 the day before you arrived. With the help of the management, we concealed room 13 just after Rosalie and Polly's arrival.
Oh, very clever. I suppose you had the door concealed with a false wall and then moved the grandfather clock in front of it.
Yes. What could be simpler?
So, how did you get the hotel staff to go along with this deception?
Deception? You talk about deception after what you were planning to do? Actually, a lot of the people here aren't hotel staff at all. They've been more than happy to take a break. Most of the people you've met here are friends of mine. And rather good actors, too, I might say.
Yes, and Rosie signed the register for us both with a special pen that looks like real ink. But after a few minutes, it disappears.
Good heavens.
We didn't know about it until William told us what we'd done. What a laugh we had.
I didn't mean any harm to come to Rosalie. Honestly, that wasn't my intention. I believed Rupert was genuine. He told me, he assured me, he'd be good to her and that she'd want for nothing. And, yes, you're right, I'm in financial trouble. That's why I did it. I need the money.
Yes, I believe you. But you know you're a very greedy and selfish man, too. You knew that next month Rosalie would come of age and you'd be no longer her legal guardian. You were getting desperate because of all the debt you owe, so you've made a deal with this Bailey fellow who would solve all your problems. You were being threatened by the people you owe the money to. I also know that there's a prison sentence hanging over you if some of those debts aren't paid.
So, what do I do now, then, Everything would have been fine if it hadn't been for your interference.
Fine for you, perhaps. Not for Rosalie. And it's obvious you still don't give a damn. I think you should go to prison, sir.
I could tell there was something about you. Lady Fernley's secretary, I should have known. Well, prison will have to wait for another day, won't it? Goodbye, Lady Fernley.
Not so fast, Mr. Best.
What is this?
It's a warrant for your arrest.
Well done, Polly. William, I think we've sorted that one out.
Indeed.
So now I think we'd better get a move on. We've preparations to make, haven't we?
Preparations, Lady Fernley?
Well, of course. Unless I've got it all wrong, I do believe we have a wedding to attend.
In tonight's play, Margaret Milner-Smythe was Rosalie, Catherine Dunstan was Polly, Vera Clare was Lady Vivian Fernley, Tom Reed was Julian Best, John Simpson was Rupert Sykes Bailey, Peter Gardner was William, Caroline Smart was the receptionist, and Roger Service was Trent. The play was directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Listen again next week for another unforgettable story from our Springbok Library of the Air.